We always love to talk motorsports. Who better to do it with than Dan Weldon, the defending and two-time champion of the Indianapolis 500. Dan, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir. It's a pleasure to have you in tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for the very kind introduction.
Well, it was the least we could do. You really have had a great career, and we're so pleased to have you on with us here tonight. What a just unusual situation you find yourself in right now, having come into the situation. You were able to get a ride for the Indianapolis 500. You were able to make that happen, and with that ride, to win the race, and at the very end there, with that very remarkable climax to the race, to get past J.R. Hildebrand, the man who replaced you in your previous ride, I mean, it almost seems too fantastic to believe, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the Indianapolis 500 for me was phenomenal. That's certainly a race I'm incredibly passionate about. It's one of those races where you need to be in the right situation to win. And, you know, to join my old friend Brian Herta, my old teammate, was, obviously special for me. We didn't join forces because we were friends. I think we joined, forces because we really felt very confident in one another's ability. And there was a huge amount of trust there. And, for me, he was able to give me a package to win. He collaborated with Sam Schmidt's team. And I got to tell you, right from the get-go, it just, we were very, very competitive. And for me this year, I had a tough couple of years just recently. They didn't go the way I liked. I felt like I was perhaps not enjoying the motor racing like I should be, like I have done in the past. And, it was important for me to get back into a situation that not only is very competitive, but also one that I enjoy. And, it might be a mistake of mine. I've been blessed with some offers, and it's, some people have reported that it was because they couldn't pay me enough that I didn't take them, and that's certainly not the case. My management have got me in a situation where, I'm really very comfortable with my financial situation. It's about being in a seat that's competitive, first and foremost, and then obviously a situation that I enjoy. And, like I say, Brian gave me that opportunity for Indianapolis. Hopefully we can continue with Brian, but if not, I have to continue to work hard to find something that I really am going to enjoy and feel competitive in for at least 2012 and beyond, if not before the end of this season.
Well, certainly viability is got to be the utmost thing on your mind, yes, because you've certainly got to have a team that you can feel confident that you have a legitimate chance to go out there and win the race. In the meantime, your visibility is strong, not just as the winner of the biggest race of the year, but dabbling in a little bit of broadcasting here. You got a chance with Versus to go out there and call a race. So you're joining a long list of drivers throughout history who have dabbled on that side of the glass. How's it feeling to you thus far?
It's been fantastic. Versus were kind enough to offer me that opportunity, and like I tell everybody at Versus, it's for me very important. Whenever I do something, I always want to do the job to the best of my abilities, and so I've been actually surprised at how much you have to prep to do a good job. But I'm very passionate about racing. It's all I've ever done all my life. I really do love the IndyCar series. I like working alongside Bob Jenkins and Jan Beekes, and everybody that forms the production staff that put on the race. And for me, it's doing something I love. Obviously I want to be in the race car, but that's not doable right now. And so, this is another opportunity that I've really, really been enjoying. I just recently signed to be the 2012 IndyCar, test driver with Brian Herta Autosports. So that's going to keep me busy too. So between the, commentating on Versus, the Indianapolis 500 and this, testing deal that's coming up, it's turning out to be a much busier season than I thought. But, I'm really enjoying it.
Do you feel like it's the kind of season that can refresh you a little bit, particularly coming off of the last couple of years, and you alluded to potentially not enjoying that as much as you might have liked? Do you feel like something like this, I mean, you've tasted great success this year, but you've also kind of gotten a break at the same time. Is this the kind of thing that can really get your battery charged for the next phase of your career?
You know, I've got to be honest, having this break, I've always been extremely motivated in whatever I tried to achieve. And so I don't think it's kind of remotivated me. I don't think it's kind of re-energized me, to be honest. I think what it's done is it's made me appreciate just how much I love IndyCar racing and how much I love being part of this series and just driving the cars. That is really what this break has done for me. And, you know, so when you get in the car, you know, it's I think, like I say, you just appreciate the fact that you're driving something so cool, to tell you the truth. And, you know, for me, it's been, you know, Indianapolis was incredibly enjoyable. I think, you know, I look at the racing now from a slightly different perspective. I think certainly being involved with Virtus has made me appreciate that side of racing too, and how important that is to, you know, develop those relationships and help the sponsors, you know, on the other side of the fence. So it's been, it's just been very good for me in order for me to appreciate just everything about motor racing and how much I enjoy it and you know how much I want to continue, you know, driving for a long, long time.
Well said, because you really are living a dream with the success that you've had. I mean, a dream of so many, like myself, who grew up watching Indy over the years, and Mears and Unser and Andretti and all of the greats, and who were just kind of enthralled by the whole open wheel thing. But speaking of open wheel, of course, where you come from, obviously, originally in England, the form of open wheel that's bigger over there is F1. And in past years, I have seen that you've displayed a certain openness to that at a certain point. It sounds like you consider yourself pretty well tied to the IndyCar series for the next couple of years. Is F1 still kind of in the back of your mind for further down the road?
Well, you know, honestly, right now I have the testing deal, and that's going to keep me kind of very busy, and that's what I'm going to focus on through the beginning of October at the very least. But, you know, up until this point, I don't have anything confirmed for 2012, and for me it's very important to remain current. So if there's not an opportunity in IndyCar racing, I'm hoping that there will be. I'd like to say I'm confident, but I was confident last year and it didn't work out for me in the off season. But I will have to consider other options. I think I think it would be very difficult for me to break into Formula One right now. My management have certainly got some good contacts there, but I just don't think that opportunity is going to arise. Certainly, you know, from a race seat perspective, maybe there'd be the opportunity to test, but that doesn't interest me too much. But, you know, there's obviously NASCAR that I could consider. But, you know, I would say my primary choice and certainly my focus right now is to be full-time in the IndyCar series in 2012.
Well, it's been amply demonstrated over a period of time how difficult it can be to make the jump to NASCAR. I don't know that it was necessarily fully appreciated how much of apples and oranges the two circuits really can be until some of the really great open-wheel drivers have gone over there and not tasted a lot of success. Somebody I have to ask about who was very famous on your circuit, of course, for any number of reasons, marketing as well as on the track, Danica Patrick, of course, now toying with the idea of moving further into NASCAR. How would you rate the chances of someone like her if she decides to commit to that a little bit more?
Well, I think when you look at the talented people like Juan Pablo Montoya and Tony Stewart, there's certainly perhaps a longer period than in some of the other formulas to adjust. It seemed to take 1, 2 to 3 years. And, you know, I mean, Tony Stewart was perhaps an exception because of the team he was in and the amount of practicing he did. But, you know, it's certainly very, very different from, you know, what I would call an open wheel background. The cars are, you know, much heavier. The tires are, you know, considerably smaller and there's still a lot of horsepower. So it's, you know, it's very, very different. I think, you know, it certainly can't be underestimated. I think when you consider the competitive nature of NASCAR right now, it's pretty impressive. There's there's a ton of people that you can consider potential winners, you know, weekend in, weekend out. So, you know, I think it will take her time. I think honestly, and this is just my opinion, if you're going to do something like that, you have to commit to it wholeheartedly. I don't think you can jump, you know, back and forth between IndyCar racing and NASCAR. I think the people in NASCAR are too good, and you'd be doing them an injustice thinking that you could do it that way. I think it will certainly be difficult for her. I think, honestly, I think she's done a reasonable job considering she's bouncing back and forth. And, you just have to wait and see. But certainly the learning period in NASCAR for somebody coming from open wheel seems longer than if you would perhaps to go into another formula.
Oh, exactly. And in addition to all the great names that you mentioned, a gentleman from my home state of Ohio, Sam Hornish, we've seen how he has struggled to acclimate to a NASCAR and just how great that guy was in open wheel. That just shows you the differences right there. In terms of the migration of drivers between different circuits, something that I'm curious about, with you having won your second 500 this year and the first one having been in 2005 when the open wheel circuit, there was two at the time. You had Champ Car going as well, and the field at that time versus what the field was now. What was your perspective on winning at a second time when obviously a couple of these guys have gone to NASCAR and not come back, but by and large, nobody can dispute the strength of the fields 2009, 2010, 2011. That wasn't always the case at every point during the time when there were the two domestic open wheel circuits here. Did you take any greater sense of accomplishment from the second championship, or was it roughly about the same?
No, I think, to be honest, it was very similar. What you've got to remember is whenever you're racing in the Indianapolis 500, you've got the best of the best teams. And those teams are not going to put people in those cars that are not talented. So, when you consider that just as teammates alone, I had Tony Kanaan, Dario Franchitti, Brian Herder, and then, like you talked about, Sam Hornish. I mean, these are incredibly talented race car drivers. So I have to say, if you're racing up front, it doesn't matter what year they for me, they've all been very, very competitive. I would say the depth of the field this year was perhaps deeper than it's ever been. But in all honesty, the top 10 to 15 any year that I've raced in the 500, it's been incredibly tight, incredibly competitive. And you know, it's one of those races where it doesn't matter what year you compete. If you don't execute that race perfectly, you're not going to win, and that's what makes the Indianapolis 500 so rewarding to everybody involved. There's so much preparation that goes into it. There's so much hard work, and you have to execute everything. Like, there's not one thing you can let slip come race day, because otherwise you're not going to win. And I love that challenge of it. I just love driving that racetrack. It's a phenomenal racetrack. There's a great amount of history and tradition behind it. And, it's just, for me, it's great to be a part of.
Oh, exactly. And we saw with that thrilling finish exactly how you have to be on for the entire day, even coming through the final turn and right through the end, with you taking advantage at the end and slipping through to get that victory. We saw that every last second of that race is momentous and is important. And it was illustrated perhaps as never before with the way that that race ended. I'm sure there are any number of things that have really sunk into your head since you won it for the second time here. Becoming a repeat champion at Indianapolis, that's a select club in and of itself, and being the centennial winner of the Indianapolis 500. There haven't been 100 races because they've been off in terms of wartime, but be that as it may, 100 years ago, the first Indianapolis 500, you win it 100 years thereafter. These have got to be the kind of things that have just been really making it a lot of fun for you to reflect on over the last month.
Yeah, well, actually, it's been incredibly busy since that great day on the 29th of May. But for me, it was a very emotional win for a lot of different reasons. And some of them, like you've touched on, it was the centennial race of the Indianapolis 500. you know, there's huge history and tradition behind that race, and to win the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500 for me was incredibly special. You know, it was emotional too because of the fact that you know, I wasn't, or I'm still not a full-time participant in the series. You know, and joining Brian, who's like I say, been a friend, and you know, been a teammate before. And then also because I was representing the Alzheimer's Association, and that's something obviously near and dear to my heart, and being able to dedicate that race to my mother. So there's a lot of great things about Indianapolis. I mean, the fans are phenomenal year in, year out. They come out. Certainly the crowd, I think, was one of the biggest it's ever been since I've been part of the 500, if not the biggest. So it was, it was a great, great day, and it's, you know, what comes with winning the race is obviously very special too.
Well, Dan, you've anticipated what I wanted to bring this around to here tonight, and that was the cause that you raced for at Indianapolis. And I speak for a lot of people out here in expressing gratitude for you. I speak as somebody who my grandfather had Alzheimer's, and two of my great uncles, at least two of them, if not more relatives, had that. So first and foremost, my best wishes to your mother. And talk about how that came to pass as far as your participation with them for the race. You had that opportunity because of the sponsorship and everything being up in the air, and you had an opportunity to get involved with them. How did that come to pass, and what have been some of the things that have been expressed to you since that race?
Well, the Alzheimer's Association wasn't a sponsor of mine at all.
Okay.
It was
yes.
The fact that I wanted to represent the association, mm-hmm. because of what has touched my family's life. I mean, it's you know, it's a disease that I actually get emotional just talking about it. It's a disease that hits far more people in this world than I think people know and understand. You know, with this particular disease, it doesn't just affect the person that has it. It affects, you know, all the loved ones surrounding that person and even friends. And, you know, it's something that my mother was diagnosed with a couple of years ago. It's, you know, been, I think it's been very, very tough on, you know, all of our family. We're an incredibly close family. And, you know, when it was made possible that I could represent the association, it was the least I could do. It was certainly, you know, when I sat down with the people from the association, I said, listen, I would love to be able to represent you. I told them the story about my mother. You know, they're not an association where I think they just let anybody represent them. It's very important for the right person. So I was, you know, very honored and privileged for them to allow me to do that. And, you know, what was great is, you know, I ran the Alzheimer's Association logo on the front of my helmet above my visor. And, you know, we were able to win the Indianapolis 500 together. So for, you know, everybody out there that's been affected by the disease, it was great to be able to help with that awareness. You know, it's certainly a disease that's, I think, becoming more prevalent in the world because people are living longer. But, you know, hopefully this awareness that you know, we've helped raise will perhaps, you know, speed up some cures, hopefully. You know, it's just, it's very touching for me to be able to represent them. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the people that are affected by the disease could have, you know, at least heard my story and, you know, smiled for a little bit, because, you know, it's something that touches a lot of people, and, you know, just very proud for them to allow me to represent them.
Well, Dan, there's no question that the combination of your advocacy there and your success on the track in representing them in Indianapolis, that has raised a lot more awareness for it. No question about that. So God bless you for that.
Thank you.
Always, Dan, we like to give our guests a chance to plug at the end of the show here. We have up links on the on our rundown here tonight to your Twitter account and website. So we've got that covered there. But anything else that you'd like the people to know about, please take it away.
Well, you know what? One of the greatest comments I've had just recently is Mario Andretti was watching the race on TV, and he was very impressed with my commentary. So I was incredibly happy about that. But you know, the feedback that I've got from the fans and the support that I've had from the fans, whether it be you know, through my Twitter handle at Dan Weldon or on my website, which is www.danweldon.com, you know, or just in person, has been absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, I want to be part of the IndyCar series full time, and there's times where it is very tough. But you know, like I say, first and foremost, from all the fans, I truly appreciate all the support. Obviously, to you know the people that are affected by the Alzheimer's disease, you know, we're trying to do as much as we can through the Alzheimer's Association, and I appreciate all the donations that people have made. You know, through the Indianapolis 500 and the awareness that we raised then. But it's, you know, for me, it's a privilege to do something that I love. And, you know, hopefully you'll see me back on the grid very, very soon.
Well, you're doing a great job all the way around, Dan. And I did see where Mario Andretti tweeted at you that he enjoyed your commentary. So I saw that as well. But we greatly enjoyed having you on the program tonight. You're always welcome back, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And you guys have a nice evening. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. All right,
thank
everybody.
You.
The great Dan Weldon, Indianapolis 500 champion and two-time winner at the Indianapolis 500.